So during Susie's news, I mean, obviously, I was 100% paying attention, just hello? Like you, Dan.
Hello, hello.
100% paying attention. So there's something called The Strategist from New York Magazine. And The Strategist often has, like, you know, here are the 10 things you should buy for Father's Day, or here are the 5, you know, face creams that some celebrity can't live without. So when I saw, we asked former New York Yankee and The Deal podcast host A-Rod about the snacks, sneakers, and reading glasses he can't live without. I'm like, well, this is,
oh boy,
this is not former New York Yankee. This is our guy, owner of the Timberwolves, Alex Rodriguez. Chipotle burrito bowl. I can crush a burrito bowl. I like to order a combo, chicken and steak. Then I like guac red sauce. One of my many vices is chips. I can't stay away from those damn chips. At this point, I have a PhD in chips. I like Cheetos. I like barbecue. I like Doritos. And I like...
Good luck, Timberwolves fans.
It's like he asked, like, his high school senior to, could you just write this crap for The Strategist? And then some of the stuff on this list, like, obviously the business model here is you click on the link and they get like half a penny when you go order some chips. But like, one of these is Lysol laundry sanitizer additive, 0% bleach, crisp linen. This can't be real. This stuff kills bacteria on your laundry, which is awesome because I remember that polyester Yankee uniform would just stink. I mean, this is allegedly what...
I just can't understand why people used to refer to him as A-Fraud. I don't get it.
All right, let's do the D-Rush Hour news headlines.
Time to get you caught up on some of the biggest stories of the day. These are the DeRush Hour headlines.
Good evening. Our top story.
This just in.
Our top story.
We begin tonight with.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin tonight.
We begin with the lead.
And we begin with a settlement. The most divided legislature in the history of the state of Minnesota. If you added up the House and the Senate, you had 100 Republicans and 101 Democrats. The Republicans had a little bit of power, but not a lot of power, because they were tied in the House, but the Speaker was a Republican, but they were still evenly tied. The Democrats had a one-vote majority in the Senate. Minnesotans appeared, at least if you listen to the political brain wizards, they appeared to choose divided government after the DFL trifecta, where Democrats had the governor's office, the House, and the Senate. I disagree with that analysis. I think that some Republicans in some districts picked for a Republican candidate. I don't think anybody chose anything. But what do I know? What I do know is that in a one-day special session, about 2 weeks after the end of the session, lawmakers did pass a 2-year budget deal worth $66 billion. It is a reduction in spending. It did achieve what Republicans appeared to be holding the whole thing up for, which was making sure that undocumented immigrants, people who are here illegally, could not sign up for Minnesota Care, which is the insurance program. Democrats said that Republicans were taking away health care. They were causing people to die. But Republicans said in a time of budget tightness, we got to take care of people who are here legally first. I did ask Speaker of the House Lisa Damith, Representative Lisa Damith, if she felt like Republicans really got that much because they stopped or rolled that back. But otherwise, most of what the DFL trifecta passed is still part of Minnesota law.
Yeah, there is, Jason. And I think that's an important fact that I believe with Republicans in the tie and having a voice in this process, it almost provided an opportunity for Democrats where they maybe had some overreach to say, we may not like it, but maybe we need to compromise. So on earned and safe time, we were able to get some safeguards in the reporting process. Paid family medical leave, we wanted to make more meaningful changes because of what we've heard from the business community across the state. That program that is already behind in funding, and yet it hasn't even rolled out yet. And the IT system to make that actually work is not even ready, yet it's supposed to start January 1st. We were able to just roll back the tax on that on employers. We were able to roll that back just a small amount. We couldn't get some of the other things done that we wanted to do. We were also, for school districts, able to put in some safeguards around that unemployment for hourly workers. It's important to recognize that those hourly workers in schools are not unemployed, but yet they have jobs that finish during the summer. So we were able to get some language working with the DEED, so the Department of Employment and Economic Development, and the Department of Education, putting some safeguards there so people aren't just taking the summers off and getting paid. They're either looking for jobs or taking the jobs that schools are able to offer them. There were a number of other things. You mentioned the health insurance for undocumented people. We were able to stop that as of January 1st for 18 and over, just adults. We did maintain covering children. That is not taking away health care. It's making it so taxpayers are not on the hook for paying for health insurance for the undocumented population.
One of the other big things that did not happen in this session was changes to local sales tax. There was going to be a metro sales tax that would pass, and some of that money was going to go to Met Council instead of the counties, and that did not happen. What did happen was a bonding bill, and so $700 million will be invested in roads, bridges, dams, drinking water, and other public infrastructure. So it's been 2 years since there was last a bonding bill, and that we'll learn in the coming days sort of who gets what out of that situation. One other thing that did happen during the final days of the legislature is a tax hike. It's a tax hike, though, on a product that is not really for sale yet. The cannabis tax was going to be 10%. Now it will be 15%. Stephen Brown is the owner of Nothing But Hemp, and he is with us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Stephen, thanks for being with us. What is your reaction to that 15% tax rate?
It's just too high. When you add in the state sales tax and the local sales tax, you're getting close up to 27% in St. Paul and Minneapolis. The goal was to eradicate the black market. Now we're right up there with California.
What do you think that extra 5% is really going to make much of a difference in people who would be, you know, already paying what probably is going to be a markup compared to what cannabis was going for on the black market?
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge black up. It's huge. I mean, from $40, $40 product will, after tax, will be around $51 or more. We're already seeing it in the hemp industry where people are just going over the Hudson and saving on the tax because they could buy hemp derived THC products, you know, right next door.
Yeah, I think it is a fascinating question, right? Whether people who are likely to go to a dispensary, you know, are they price sensitive? If you're somebody who's getting your cannabis from your guy on the black market, are you necessarily the kind of person who's going to the dispensary anyway? I'm curious how price sensitive. Yes, maybe if you can go to Wisconsin, but if you're in, you know, if you're in the center of the state or somewhere else, I don't know. I'm just asking if 5%, if it really will make that much of a difference.
I think it will. I mean, if we were around, you know, 5% or 10% on a tax, I think consumers are willing to find safe products and walk into a dispensary. I really think this is going to cut some of the marketplace down on the legal side. Just because right now you could, purchase an eighth for about $30 to $40 on the black market with no tax and have a quality product.
I mean, when you look around the country, right, California is about 15%, Arizona 16%, Colorado 15%, Delaware 15%. 15, I guess Oregon goes up to 17% and Washington goes to 37%. Montana, yep. 20%. We were sort of in the middle at 10, and it looks like we're still sort of in the middle on 15, right?
Well, not after you add in all the other,
city taxes. Yeah. Yep. It's the other sales tax that Minnesota is already higher on those states. Huh?
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, so, the risk when they do this is that if sales go down, you don't even achieve the benefit of having that extra 5%, right?
Exactly. And now that, people can home grow up to, I believe it's like 4 plants, that's already going to be really tough for a lot of these businesses. And then you're adding this extra tax on top of it. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how this rolls out. Mm-hmm. And we're one of the only states that has a cannabis tax on hemp. And so that's extremely strange and odd. So if you go to your local liquor store and you're buying a 4-pack, THC beverage, you're going to be hit with a 15% tax on top of your regular sales tax.
What is your sense? I don't know. Have you applied for a license to sell cannabis as well? What's your status? I know we had the first round of lottery that happened last week, but what are you guys at?
Yeah, so we did not apply for a license. We are still looking at the industry as a potential option for us, and we could always purchase a license. And that's what we're looking at. We want to see how things kind of roll out. It's been really a really difficult rollout in Minnesota. And I don't think necessarily right now being the first is the best. We want to see what happens.
Stephen Brown, we appreciate you spending some time with us talking about that 15% tax that was part of this budget compromise. 520, that is D Rush Hour News Headlines, The Lead. In just a minute, we turn the page and go to page 2, where we will talk about Maple Grove, more than just the restaurant capital of Minnesota, a very expensive water filter for Stillwater, and what athletes have made the most money playing in Minnesota. Drive Time back in just a minute on CCO. D Rush Hour News Headlines. Page 2. Should travel writers gatekeep all of the secret treasures?
I'm a travel writer. I've been traveling the world and writing about my travels since 1986.
Oh, my goodness.
I've written 15 books.
This travel writer certainly should be
articles. And I've been talking and traveling with the 14th Dalai Lama for 45 years.
That travel writer should. Pico Iyer with a really interesting story in the New York Times, because it's travel writers and food writers who have to think about this, and it's worse for travel writers. This idea of sharing little-known secrets. Pico in the New York Times writes, "When I first began writing about foreign wonders, I could extol the hidden jewel known as the Lotus Cafe in Ubud, because few people would ever read my account, and even fewer would dream in 1988 of flying to Bali. Well, now you mention a secret bar in Barcelona. It gets to 11 million readers in every corner of the planet, many of whom are on their way to Spain very soon, or at least know of others who will be. If you're a book reviewer or a movie reviewer, no one is mad that you gave away this secret movie, right? Everyone's excited, like, wonderful. This overlooked novel or overlooked movie just got attention. But destinations are fragile. Many cannot bear the weight of thousands." Pretty interesting sort of dilemma. I am not a gatekeeper, but I do think about it, like, and so do you guys. When you text me places and tell me not to tell anyone, I know. I know what you're saying, and I'm nervous about it, too. Maple Grove is not just the restaurant capital of Minnesota. Oh, no. It is soon to be the biomedical technology capital. Minnesota Star Tribune reporting that Boston Scientific is selling its Minnetonka lab and office and moving everybody up I-94 to Maple Grove. Construction underway on a 52,000 square foot expansion of their 79-acre campus on Weaver Lake Road. And maybe you've seen, if you've driven, like if you're on the way to the cabin or up towards St. Cloud, you see this massive 400,000 square foot campus going in. That is Boston Scientific. Employees will start moving in there by the end of the year. You know, it's called Boston Scientific. Kind of a raw deal for us. There are 10,000 Minnesota employees there. All eight of the company's divisions do business in Minnesota. This is one expensive Brita filter for the city of Stillwater.
Water. Water. Water.
Oil. Oil. Room service. Room service.
Spaceballs. Mary Devine at TwinCities.com. Fight Air Press reporting that Stillwater is getting a temporary water treatment facility. They're trying to clean out those PFAS, the forever chemicals. It'll cost $2.5 million, and they're going to build this thing right next to well number 10 near Benson Park. And they're using granulated activated carbon. And that's why I'm saying, like, get everybody a Brita.
That's a Brita filter, yeah.
I assume I don't have PFAS in my water, but I don't think the water tastes very good. I think well water in Maple Grove. Little jealous of your Minneapolis, St. Paul people and your Mississippi River water. What's the best water you've ever had in your life, Dan Cook? Or do you not notice the different taste?
I have no clue.
I should have known.
Yeah.
When I lived in Milwaukee,
I have a tap and you turn it on.
Oh, it's so
and
gross.
Then water comes out.
Lake Michigan. Lake Michigan water is the best water I've ever had. Don't you like the segment we do during the state fair with the water sommelier? I mean, that is. All right, let's talk about what athletes have made. Now, think about it before I reveal. What athletes have made the most money playing in Minnesota? Money, 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 money. So Axios Twin Cities reporting that we have a couple new members to the $100 million club. Rudy Gobert, the Timberwolves center, and Carlos Correa have joined the $100 million club. Rudy's made $123 million. Carlos has made $143 million. But, Dan, like, it's sort of obvious who's, well, I would think it's obvious, but I don't know if people would assume it's Anthony Edwards or
Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett.
Would have been one that popped into my head. But this guy absolutely would be my guess, yes.
Joe Mauer.
Yeah.
$233.3 million. KG, pretty close. Pretty close. KG made $217.9 million. Kirk Cousins, 185. Cat, 182. Pretty interesting. I mean, you play your whole 15-year career in a Minnesota uniform. That's tough to beat. Now, if Carlos does play out the three final years on his guaranteed contract, he will pass Joe Mauer. And Anthony Edwards is on pace to make $289 million. And has a lot of earning years ahead of him. If we can keep him, he'll blow everybody away. But he'll be at 289 by 2029. 5:32, that's the D-Rush Hour News headlines. In just a minute, I was just like blown away last night. Something during the NHL Stanley Cup Finals got me going, why? Why does hockey put up with these ridiculous fights in the middle of the match? We'll talk to Jesse Pierce, NHL.com writer covering the Wild. Jesse will join us in minutes here on CCO.
Misconduct's getting handed out. Gavrilovich and Nurse to the left of your screen, throwing punches.
A Royal Rumble.
Smith's helmet has come off. He's tackling with Connor Brown.
It was... I don't know. Is this so? I don't like the fighting. I don't like the fighting in hockey. And to me, it cheapens the game. But last night I'm watching game three of the Stanley Cup Finals because it's a cup. That's why I was watching it. And I'm not a great hockey mind. I'm not. I'm a very casual fan. When the Wild are cooking, I like to watch the Wild. I grew up a hockey fan, but I needed some answers, some expertise. And I thought, you know what? I got to reach out to my friend Jessie Pierce, who covers the Wild, who covers hockey. She's a hockey. You're a hockey guy. I'm not a hockey guy. You're a hockey guy. You're a hockey gal.
I like guru. Guru is a good word, right?
You're a hockey wizard. You're a bit of a hockey brain wizard, I would say.
Yeah, I like it. I'll take it.
What is, so first of all, what's with the fighting? Last night, was that, did that irritate you or did that not irritate you?
No, but again, I'm a hockey gal, right? I love it. I love the part that being part of the game. I don't like when it takes over the game and when it's everything, but it's the Stanley Cup Finals. These guys are fighting tooth and nail. They're playing hurt. They've been through hell and back already, right? And they're in the finals going for the Stanley Cup. So emotions get heated. There's a lot of passion behind it. You got to read the book, Jason. It's called The Code, where it kind of goes into the actual reasoning for fighting. So it kind of dates back to, it was to enforce this code where you don't hit the superstars and you kind of protect your guys. And it's a really insightful book where it shows it's not just guys throwing haymakers at one another or just fighting for fighting. And that certainly is something that's even been more and more removed as the game's gone on. You do need to be able to play hockey in addition to fighting, whereas back in the day,
right,
that was a little bit different.
So
right?
I grew up a Blackhawks fan, and, you know, there were enforcers who were like, it was serious business. It was
right.
Not. Now, last night looked a little bit like a couple of guys getting ready to dance at the middle school dance. Like, there was some of that. There was some fists thrown where you're like, I'm watching this and I think of any other sport, even football, which football is incredibly violent sport. If you had people just throwing haymakers at each other, the social critics of the world would be losing their mind about it, about how these athletes are bad examples. There are kids watching. This is going to happen in all levels of sport. In hockey, you have 5-6 minutes of fighting. What, 10 different players? Was it 10 players, 8 players?
Yeah, I think 85 minutes yesterday in penalty minutes.
I mean, any other sport, you'd be like, people would say, like, well, the cops should arrest these guys. How is this allowed to happen? 5 players were thrown out of the game. And it was the part of it that was crazy to me is that the game was well out of hand. It was clearly a blowout. So, you know, Florida was up like 5-1 when this massive fight happened, and I think they won 6-1. But, like, it just seems so ridiculous.
Sure. No, it's a momentum changer. Think about when Marcus Foligno tries to get the crowd going in St. Paul, right? And he gets out on the ice and kind of has a nice hard hit into the boards or drops the gloves. And you dance, as you'd mentioned. It can be a momentum changer. It's something to try to spark the boys, get the boys going. And Edmonton, as you'd mentioned, desperation as they were just getting absolutely dominated by Florida. The other unfortunate thing to the fighting is it can lead to power play goals, which we saw those penalties that Edmonton
yes.
took were a big old problem.
Right.
3 power play goals for the Panthers, too. So that's the other thing is you do have to keep your wits about you. You do have to keep your tempers from getting too extreme. But again, I'm kind of here for the well-timed, well-placed fight, and I don't even hate a bench-clearing brawl. If I can see two goalies go at it, Marc-Andre Fleury, that's the one thing that he said he misses from his Hall of Fame resume is he never got into
a fight.
You never won. Yeah, but
I mean, is there part of what I wonder as we talk with Jessie Pierce, and you can follow her on X at JESSI, is it underscore?
Underscore, yeah.
J-E-S-S-I underscore Pierce. Do you think, you know, we don't see this in high school, right? This has been some of this has been banned at the lower levels. And they try to crack down. There's conversations that flare up every once in a while that, you know, fighting should be banned in the NHL. They could ban it. Why not just say, you know what, this game is beautiful enough. We don't really need this. There are other ways we can get some momentum going.
Again, you got to go back to the history. It's just been such a part of the game. And hockey is kind of behind, right? Like, you have those traditionalists who definitely don't want to change things. But I do feel that there has been a large component, obviously CTE and well,
that's what you worry about, right? Yeah, the head trauma. Now, I don't know, has there been an incident that's been that bad? I don't know. Do you think these guys fully are fighting the same way they would, like, on the street if they were in a brawl? Or is it...
No.
It's like a hockey...
I don't think
so. What's different in hockey fighting?
Again, you're not trying to destroy the other person, right? There's very few instances. You're not out there to hurt the person. They all have great amount of respect for people. You'll even notice there are times...
It didn't look like that much respect last night. I didn't
you
see a ton of respect.
Of the disrespect. But again, it can be such a good part of the game. But I do think the biggest difference that I'm noticing now is the fighting today. It does happen much less. Like, I know we see instances like last night, and you're like, how is that possible? It does. It's because you have to be able to skate. Players are so freaking fast these days, too, that it's hard to catch up. And again, you're not having those big enforcers. Derek Bugard, former Minnesota Wild player, he was one of those guys that never really brought the hockey value, but he was that enforcer. And again, there are so few of those players because teams need guys that can skate, that can be a fourth-line impact player, not just a fighter. So I think it's starting to trend away from it, but I think because it was a part of the original game, there's a time and a place for it, it'll never go away. I don't think it will, right? You know, you hear the jokes about I went to a boxing match and a hockey game broke up, right? Like, there are certain situations, but I just think it can serve its time and place for the sport, that there's just so much passion and emotion within these guys.
Now, nobody gets suspended, right? Like, you get to come back and play game four. Like, in the NBA, if you punch another player, I think you would get suspended for the next game, right? Like, in the NHL, nothing happens?
Right. It depends on, usually it's only a bad hit. If you punch a player, if you guys get into a fight, it's 5 for fighting, and you might get tossed out of the game depending on when in the game it happened.
Right.
But yeah, you're not getting suspended or reprimanded unless you're doing something completely egregious, right? Which, again, these guys are never technically
trying to do. Bojangles if you punch
someone. Yeah. I haven't seen that one yet. That'd be a move that I'm sure...
Let's have some fun if we're going to do... Why not, Jesse? You're like, it's all part of the great tradition of the game.
Exactly.
We're just punching people. Now, one serious question about this, though, because the other sports I mentioned very often have more players who are players of color. Do you think that some of this is maybe a little bit of a racial understanding of it, where hockey is often played by white guys? Is it different in that way?
I mean, I think you'd be ignorant to suggest it's not, right? I'm sure race does play a tone in hockey and in sports in general. We all are aware of that.
Yeah,
we become more aware
played
of
in the
it
world, right?
Lately. Yeah,
right.
Exactly. But I don't know that that necessarily is a different way that approach, because it is starting to grow and become a little bit more diverse, still lags far, far behind any of the other sports. But hockey has been making those efforts, those initiatives.
Right.
And I think, you know, whether the players white, black, blue, purple, they approach the game the same way, right? You're taught the game the same way. So I think even when it comes to that fighting and that physical element, I don't know that race is necessarily a component to it. But again, it's something that you can't ignore either, right? Maybe it is different the way that I think hockey players approach the game. We look at the Four Nations, right? When you're seeing the best on best and everybody was tuning in, you had football players, basketball players watching, and you think about other sports and it's like, why can't this work in other sports? That's because hockey players are different. They have just this different passion about the game of hockey. They are throwing their bodies on the line every night, and that's not to lessen what NBA players and NFL players do on a weekly basis either, but it's just, there's something different. Again, that's what I love about the sport. They are just all in, no matter what.
Really good stuff. Jesse, I appreciate it. Thank you for being with us.
Yeah, no problem, Jason. Thanks so much.
Very good. Jesse Pierce, she's a Minnesota Wild correspondent at NHL.com, has her own podcast and her own podcast company too. We'll break. Twins Ticket Tuesday, just saying, something to think about. We might give away some Twins tickets here on CCO.
Let's take the current temp of your Minnesota Twins. Brought to you by Chef IQ Sense. Get your wireless meat thermometer now at chefiq.com.
Chef IQ Sense bringing us the temperature of the Twins. I love that wireless thermometer hooks right into your iPhone. I'm going to be using that on Father's Day, I'll tell you that much. Tonight, the temperature of the Twins, Dan, we say is...
You know, it's somewhere in the middle again. It's warmish. You know, they're coming off a win, had a day off, kind of regrouping, but the pitching staff's taken a couple of pretty significant hits.
I'm on the cold end of warm.
Okay.
I'll buy it. So I'm not cool, but I'm lukewarm.
You know, Pablo Lopez.
The injuries have me worried.
Obviously, Pablo's out for a long period of time. Zebby Matthews, they don't think is quite as serious of a shoulder injury, but he'd been pitching pretty well. So Simeon Woods Richardson back up with the big club. He'll get the start tonight.
You know, I love Simeon Woods Richardson as a person.
Yes.
As a player, it's been a struggle for him this season. But hopefully, like, a little bit of time over in St. Paul help get him right.
Yeah, you know, he's a back end of the rotation
stuff,
starter.
But yes.
You know, so you're not counting on him to dominate other teams necessarily, but you want him to be able to at least get you through some innings, five into the fifth, into the sixth. And protect the bullpen a little bit.
He won two with the Saints.
Yep.
4.24 ERA, three starts. Much better than his 2-2 record. And five ERA for the Twins.
All old Twins friend, Tyler Molly, who is here for a cup of coffee, starting tonight for the Rangers.
All right.
He's had a great year, so... it'll be a tough one for the Twins tonight, but we'll see.
All right. Great night to be at the ballpark, that's
absolutely
for sure. And congrats to Cindy, who won our Twins Ticket Tuesday tickets as well. So she's going to see the Mariners on June 23rd. We'll be back with you tomorrow, where we'll talk about this federal indictment that just came out, that ICE, supposed ICE thing, got 900 pounds of meth.